Okay, hello everyone. It's Tony Bacigalupo here, and this is the Coworking Values Podcast, where we are talking about the five core values of coworking, which are community, openness, collaboration, accessibility, and sustainability. And we are exploring how different kinds of folks are intersecting with the world of coworking and generally bringing people together in community to make the world a less disconnected, a more connected place. And I'm very honored and very grateful to have the opportunity to be interviewing Chantel Lewis, the Barefoot Planter. You can find out more about the Barefoot Planter at thebarefootplanter.com and at the Barefoot Planter on Instagram and Barefoot Planter on Twitter. So I still call it Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Chantel, so great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm great. You know what? Anytime I have, this is like my first meeting of the day. An interview is just such a great way to start the day because I'm inevitably talking to someone who's super cool and I get to hear your inspiring story and I just feel like the rest of the day is going to be great.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with my kind of elevator pitch, been working on it. So I think I should nail it now. But yeah, the Barefoot Planter delivers sustainability focused garden workshops, cooking classes and dining experiences. We support local communities and the whole idea is that we partner with businesses, the government and also councils. And then in terms of like how it started, so I also have a really funny story about like the origin, but I was literally just gardening one day in the garden and one of my mom's neighbors, let's call her the nosy neighbor. She was walking by because like, it's quite like an exposed garden, like the gates, like you can see through it. And she was like, Chantel, don't you feel embarrassed to like be in your garden with no shoes on? And I just thought like, this is such a funny thing to ask someone. But also I was like, oh, okay. And then my mom also like all the time with my nephew, she's always like, you two love to walk around barefoot in the house. And so I was just like, I love to garden. I love to walk around barefoot. Like, you know, then I thought, okay, like the Barefoot Planter sounds like a really cool name. So that's kind of how it started. But it was really just like a nosy neighbor kind of just kind of giving me a nickname. It would have actually been like the garden girl, but that was taken. But like another neighbor was basically like speaking to one of my friends that I hadn't seen for a long time. And when I saw her, she was like, oh, you're the person that my auntie keeps talking about, the garden girl. And I was like, oh, so it could have been the garden girl, but we went with barefoot plant instead. And right now, I think it's a bit more of like a metaphor because I don't really walk around barefoot anymore. I think I just know too much about the ground and what's in there. So, yeah.
I absolutely love it. I mean, I think Barefoot Planter is actually a really a better brand name, you know, because it has that visceral imagery. And, you know, I can picture like my feet kind of squishing in the soil, like while I'm getting my hands dirty. And it's like, ah, oh, you know, I missed that. That makes me want to come to one of your events and get my feet and my hands dirty. So tell me a little bit about how you ended up starting this as a organization. Where did that kind of germinate from?
Well, I love the pun.
I didn't even mean it, but there you go.
So you know what's so funny? Like, I mean, my family and friends and pretty much like my loved ones will tell you that I love to pivot. And I say love, but I think it's just like I've grown to love it. And so a bit about me, I have a DEI background. And I was also doing community management at the same time because I'm such a busybody. So I was like, why not niche in both? But as I started to kind of focus more on the inclusive element of community building, I realized that I needed to pivot again. And so I set out with 2023 pivoting and kind of transitioning into being full time in terms of like being like an inclusive community professional. But then the layoffs happened and I was like, oh, sugar. So I was like, hey, there's layoffs, no one's hiring internally. And so if I'm coming with my whole energy of like, let's do DEI, but from a community management perspective, everyone was like, would love to have a free workshop, but there's no budget for that. So I was like, okay, like just scratch my head, like what can I do? Like no one's home right now. And so I remember joining it was kind of like it was more like an accountability kind of session with my friend Naya. Shout out Naya. And so she got together a few of her close friends and just people like that she knew, like just her peers. And she was like, I know you all built, you're all building something. And I want us all to hold each other accountable. So we did it for 3 months. And the idea was like, it'll be for the first quarter. And let's just say I got attached, I caught feelings in terms of like, I loved kind of checking in with them every week in terms of like, what I'm doing. And I remember one day saying like, I'm really struggling financially. Like I don't know what to do. No one's hiring. And I keep pushing this freelance thing for like DEI. And I can't remember who was in the group that said it, but they were like, what can you do next week just to kind of get things off the ground? In terms of like just getting something that you can kind of make as an income. And I was like, I keep saying to myself, I don't want to turn my hobby into business, but I think it's time to do it. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start maybe like just launching like, online gardening workshops. Let's do it. And so I didn't actually do that. because I was procrastinating and just scared like, oh my gosh, like if I launch it online, no one's gonna come. So just procrastinating. But I was let me at least like launch my Instagram because I've had the name for like 4 years. I had one friend called Lauren just waiting for me to post one post. And so I was like, you know what, let's just post the Instagram and launch it. And then I remember like I was so random, but I was speaking to one of my friends, Richard. I thought just name drop people now. But speaking to my friend Richard, and we were like just casually at like a coworking space. I was saying to him, I really want to launch this, but I don't know how to go about it. And he's an angel investor, so he was like, just meet people, like kind of very straightforward kind of things, but like to meet people and see how it goes. And I remember him like inviting me to a place called Make It. It's based in East London, and he was like, there's a guy that like, and his name is AJ, and he used to have chickens. Like the chicken part is a big part of the story, but he used to have chickens. He'll be a great person to meet. And so I ended up going along to this networking event, and I don't know, I kind of I went in the energy with like the energy of like just go and mingle, pretend, because I'm a big introvert, but I was like, make it like fake it till you make it. So I was like, okay, go into the room, say hi to people, pretend like you've been here before. And so I went there and I networked to this really cool person who ended up being like a part of like a university, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the next person I spoke to was actually AJ, without knowing it was AJ. Because my friend heard like he was doing a meeting, so he wasn't there yet to introduce us. So I talked to him and I was like, like I do gardening, and then he's thinking about his chickens. And then finally, like my friend Richard came and he was like, oh, you've met. And I was like, oh, this is AJ. So that's kind of how we met. But the long story short is like, my very long story behind the story is AJ, he ended up like inviting me to do a herb gardening workshop for the members. And so that was like my first ever like launch. And I was like, since I'm doing a workshop, let me just say that this could be like the first day of the Barefoot Planter, and we've launched it. So I had like a day set in place. I think it was like the 11th of May. So yeah, like that was just the start of it. It's just like, I guess like friends daring me to turn my business into hobby. I mean, my hobby to business, and then actually being able to like do a taste session at a real kind of co-working space. And I think I've gone to your next question.
No, this is great because I wanted to, for folks who are listening and tuning in, saying like, well, what does this have to do with co-working values? You were putting yourself out there. Someone said, hey, I think you should meet this co-working space owner who also has overlapping interests with you. And you ended up hosting an in-person workshop at their space as a result of that. And so that's great. And I feel like, so tell me a little bit more. How did that relationship work out? Like, did they donate space? Did you pay for it? Was there a revenue? Like, and how many people came?
So the setup was I'll do like a taste session. They reimbursed me for like equipment, so like like things from like the herbs, the seeds, that kind of thing. And I was very big on like let's do things the same, like in a very sustainable manner, before I even knew I was going to be into like the climate space. And so I was just kind of like looking around thinking like how can I get these things, I had a really tight budget, and then the space was free and then the members were free. So the idea was like come along, network. And I networked my heart out. I definitely did. But then in terms of like the workshop itself, I kind of just winged it because I was like, okay, I know if I'm in my garden, I know what to do. But when it comes to like herbs, like I don't really quite know how to do this very interactively for a group of people. So there was about 15 people that came, and the idea was like, I'll kick off the garden workshop, and then we'll have like a food taster session with someone, like two other people. And there were two like food sessions, and I was like, this is a great day. And I remember there was one person, and I mentioned this person very importantly because like they become like a really good friend and like a client later on. But I remember like there was a person called Andy, and it was like his first day ever in a co-working space, like in that particular co-working space. And he came in, he was like, wow, like we had a garden workshop, and I've had like two taster sessions for food. Like, this is the best day ever. And I think for me, it's just because it was very like kind of low pressure environment, it just made it really easy to kind of just be like, here's garden workshop, and people were so engaged. Like I didn't actually believe that people actually would want to do a garden workshop during a lunch break, but people were so like just loved it. And someone was like, this has been a really great experience. I remember them saying to me like, do you do like one-to-ones? And I was like, oh, okay, like people are really about this.
Yeah.
So I think I was shocked, but I just think like my lesson from that was just put yourself out there, and just do the thing, because I think sometimes we plan too much, and we're planning so much that we think like it's going to be so perfect, but there were hiccups. But I think the hiccups made it more authentic. And then as I did, I'm like, okay, like I just had that kind of adrenaline, like I want to do it again, like this is amazing. So yeah, I think it's just nice to kind of just do the thing. Just do the thing, I guess, is my thing, or the thing that I'm trying to say.
So you came away certainly inspired, encouraged, energized. People were asking about one-on-one consultations, which is exciting. And what happened next? It sounds like you continued to develop the idea. Where does this fit into your plans? Do you think it could be your full-time professional pursuit, or do you want to keep it more side hustle-y, or what's your thinking there?
So I think it's a bit of both, really. I mean, come back to my friend Naya, she was like, one day she just said to me, like, what do you want to do? And just say it out loud. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to actually do the Bepa part full time. She's like, just manifest it, say it out loud. So I definitely want to do it full time. But I think being someone that has been freelancers for a long time, I'm like, actually, I want to be intentional with the Bepa planner. So I've like now called myself like an impact entrepreneur. I've got that title now. Like me, I just love a title. yeah, like I want to kind of, I'm at a stage now where I'm currently in an incubator called Startup Discovery School. And the idea behind that is like once we complete, we should all like incorporate. So whether you're going to be like a limited company or social enterprise or community like interest company, that's kind of the plan of at the end of it. But it's been great to be a part of an incubator where it's a bit more technical. So a lot of the founders that are part of it, they're also in climate, but they're in like tech, and I'm not tech enabled at all at the moment. So I think there will be an element in the future where maybe when we're looking at the cooking classes and the diet experiences, measuring like the waste that we have and see how to improve that. So maybe that could be like an element that I get into. But also like I think one of the things that I really want to do is like, how Amazon has this like AWS where it sells that kind of software to other like tech companies. I want to be like that, but for foodies. So right now there's like a lot of supper clubs.
Yeah.
But not all of them are sustainable. So I want to be like that person, right? Whether it's like a newsletter or we collaborate. Because I think, speaking to my mentor the other day, I was like, I don't technically see anyone that's supper club as competition. And not to boast, but I think like there's room for collaborations. So I was also part of, I guess like it was like a program, but it's a bit like an accelerator. It was called Open Up the Outdoors, and it's Alto for short. And they partnered with Hatch Enterprise. And they created a 5-month program called the Changemakers. So I was part of that for 5 months. And the idea was that it was basically like pretty much like all PLC, I'm sorry, POC founders in the outdoor space trying to make it more inclusive. And you had people that were like doing skiing and hiking. And I was like, hey, I'm the gardener and, and I do outdoor eating stuff. And people were like, this sounds great. But I had an opportunity in March to basically like do the catering for their event. And I worked with like a local chef, and it was just amazing to be like, okay, like Chantal, like you actually are a event producer. And also got like partnerships in terms of like drinks. So I was taking lots of drinks from my mom's house, in a taxi all the way to like another part of East, like another part of London. But I think for me, it was like being part of a course, and the opportunity actually came through on the last day. We had like a demo day, and Amanda, I'm gonna say first names because I've said certain names, everyone's gonna Google them. But if you look at my LinkedIn, you always see who I'm talking about. But yeah, so Amanda, who was like a part of the Outer Council, on our demo day, we had like a few dragons that were like kind of looking at our pitch, and I was just, just present. I was sweating, nervous, and I was just presenting like my ideas about, because initially it was basically just like the gardening workshops and dining experiences. And I remember Amanda saying to me like, "This is an amazing idea. Like you can literally like reach out to like maybe like PR companies and do the catering for them." So Amanda was the one that was like to Aalto, like reach out to Chantel, see if she can basically do the catering. So I remember one day like. Annette, who's part of Aalto, was like, "Oh, we'd love you to be part of like the Aalto graduation, because obviously you're graduating, but also like to actually cater as well." So that was like my first kind of like proper paid gig. I won't tell you how much, but I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it just made me feel like, oh my gosh, like. And then I think when I got paid, I was like, wow, I could actually pay someone else to do stuff. And I feel just that was that kind of like, oh, the money's circling around, and it's probably nice. So the long short of it is like, I think I'm just gonna be like, I guess out there.
Yeah.
I've got three products. So I've got obviously the cooking classes, the gardening workshops, and the dining experiences. And I see it more as a journey from like sowing seeds to like garden to fork. And then I also want to have it as a celebration of like farm to table. So I think there's definitely scope for like many things. But if I tell you all my dreams, I think we'll be here all day. But I think the biggest ones is that what I found is like a lot of my peers, they do really cool things, and I want to collaborate with them. So there's, in the pipeline, there is a forest school that I'm partnering with for summer. We're doing like a really cute like summer co like cooking ca co sorry, cooking class outdoors. And then I have another friend who's also part of the outdoor course that's doing like a wellness retreat. So we're doing camping. And I was like, you know what? Like, I think I'm gonna be the, I'm gonna do the cooking. So watch the space because I might burn things, but we'll see. And then we have another friend that wants to do like a like kind of outdoor dining experience because she already runs a, I guess like it's like a subscription for community people that want like her friends that want to eat together. So yeah, I'm just kind of just trying to like build partnerships. But I think the biggest goal this month, so right now we're in April, is kind of pretty much just like, one, graduating from my incubator, and also two, like landing some venue partnerships. So I definitely see like myself working with more co-working spaces because I think it's a great space to kind of just like just nail down the kind of belonging space, like the piece that people are missing. But also just like, I this month as well, I'm doing Earth Day at a local cafe. And I think one thing I found is like throughout the journey, I've been able to meet people that connect with people. And so coming back to like make it, when I was there, I was thinking about Andy, who was like a very key kind of person there. But he was a part, like he's currently part of a autistic charity. And I had the pleasure of like doing a taste session with them, and that was paid. And then that, but the equipment was all kind of sponsored from a company called RSPB. And so it's like getting companies that are like in the kind of climate or like nature space to sponsor like events for me. And then that way I can kind of keep them quite affordable for like any kind of local initiatives.
Yeah.
And then, but funny enough, like Andy's also connected with someone that I know from like where I was living in East London. So there's a guy called Darby, and he runs a cafe called Wild Cafe. And I used to spend like, I guess, hours, hours, hours in that cafe just on my computer. And I'll never forget, like my brother's girlfriend was like, do you know that you can't use laptops there?" And I was like, "What?" Because behind me was a sign that said like 10 minutes laptop, but he never told me. So I had to be like sitting there in the rain, inside, just being cozy with my hot chocolate and just typing away, dreaming about the Bethel planter. And the whole time I was actually meant to use my laptop in the cafe. But I say to say is that we're going to be doing like a sip and plant event on Earth Day this month. So it's just kind of nice to kind of be like, throughout the journey I've met really cool people, and I'm able to kind of give back by like, like ensuring that the venue space is sponsored, so they get paid. Or if I work with chefs, like they get paid. So it's just kind of getting that, I guess it's creating like a very equitable business where even if it's like affordable tickets, people get paid for what they do and contributions.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I feel like you want to try to find the right balance of accessibility while also having kind of a sustainable business model for yourself. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious, So if I am hosting a dinner party, if I'm maybe operating a co-working space where I have a lot of food-based events, what are some tips for how I can make those events more sustainable kind of easily? What are some easy wins?
Yeah, so I think one thing I found, and I think I'm gonna shout out my sister Shanice. So the first ever like supper club we've done was for my birthday, because I was like, you know, why not pay my friends and my family to come, like my family to come for my birthday. So I was turning 30 and I was like, it could be a really cool launch. And so I had purchased like a lot of like the kind of biodegradable plates and cutlery, and I was like, okay, like we can technically recycle it, but how? And my sister was literally like washing them by hand, painfully washing them by hand, because you can't kind of recycle them unless it's been washed because of the food contents. So I think my biggest thing would be like, see if there are actually plates or any other kind of like serving dishes available at the venue, because people, I think people don't realize, but actually having plates, like just the normal plates you use in general, that is actually quite sustainable, because you're washed, like you can wash it. So try to get plates if you can. And then I'm currently trying to partner like with any kind of like reusable, this one in UK that I have an eye on, and so I'll definitely email you later about it. But I'm trying to kind of like partner with companies that already have like this kind of like reusable system where you can hire the equipment and then send it back and they will clean it. Because I think we often think of like things that about biodegradable, but there was like a stat that spoke about, you know, in the next few years, when it comes to like exporting our trash, it's going to be really difficult, because it's going to cost a lot more than actually using things that you could just reuse all the time. And another thing as well is, when it comes to venue hiring, really kind of check and see like if one, they have insurance, or if you need to get insurance, and then two, the accessibility needs. So I think a lot of people think about like, you know, wheelchair use, but it could also be like, I think one thing I found was like a lot of my friends that want to come to my event, sometimes they're Muslim, and one of my friends, she was like, you know, a lot of venues don't have a prayer room, and there's like a really crucial prayer time around 8 o'clock. And so one thing I made sure I did was like with my summer couple, was having like a prayer room available for people to pray. And then another thing as well, so my grandma's diabetic, and so I really wanted her to come enjoy her birthday, because you know, her granddaughter's turning 30. And so I made sure that all the drinks that we did get that were like non-alcoholic, firstly, also would also have like low sugar. So I think one thing we overlook a lot is like the ingredients that we use and like in the food, but also like the drinks that we buy that are pre-made, so they're often quite a lot like high sugar intake. So I think just a little and those little elements, but I think the biggest thing is just kind of like be very transparent about what you're using the money for, where the profits go to, and also like just being honest and saying, you know, like if you have made mistakes of like how sustainable things have been. So I learned like I'm not really going to buy a lot of like biodegradable things where you need to wash it, and if there's no washing like facilities, then it's a bit of a headache. But I think the biggest thing is just like be very personable, because I think with my supper club that I did for my birthday, I had like 2 weeks to plan. And I was like, oh my gosh, no one's gonna come to this. Like, it's only 2 weeks, you know, notice. And my friend was like, my friend to her was just like, put it out there, trust the universe, see who comes. And it was such a great event. People loved it. So yeah, I think I haven't got I answered your question, but I think the biggest thing is just like, just do the thing, but also just be very diligent. Be very diligent with who you ask. So like, you can go to people's websites, you can go and Google things, and just also like ask around your friends in terms of like certain brands. So there is definitely a lot of greenwashing going around right now. So I think it's being clear about like actually where you stand in terms of like B Corps or just any companies that do like, you know, sustainable packaging, because a company doesn't have to necessarily be B Corp to have like kind of the sustainability element to it, but it's just for you to know, you know, like what's the promise that you're making and what promise they're making. So for me, I was like, after my event, I'm making sure that I'm going to compost everything, and I did. And then I was also like, if I can, I can like actually like upcycle any kind of glass bottles that you give me. So I've, you know, I've been putting things like tomatoes in my glass bottles, you know, like put like flowers in it. So just like be very honest about what you need, but also what they need, and like where the kind of KPIs and stuff align. But yeah, I think it's not one rule fits all, but I think it's just like trust your instinct when you think that someone might be greenwashing, and then also ask the follow-up questions. And I think the biggest thing as well is feedback. The mistake I made before was like waiting too long to get feedback, and so I'm even now chasing feedback from August last year, like a nightmare. But to get feedback so you know how to improve things, because I know there's a lot of things that I've done that I might actually I'll do def I'll do differently. For like for example, with food, like with a supper club, we had too much food. Like I didn't waste anything, I gave things away. But I've learned actually like being a cabin person, we tend to overfeed our guests quite a lot, and I'm trying to like not overfeed people. So like make sure the menu is a bit more like streamlined. There's always going to be a soup involved. Like I'm big on having something hot, but then you can have like little nibbles. So the recent event I did for Alto, we did like a canapé kind of theme, and it was all seasonal, and it was also vegan. And I wasn't doing vegan food to be like, oh, let's be vegans, but it was more like actually like being a gardener myself, I see the power of vegetables. And if I want to kind of celebrate the kind of fork to table kind of vibe, I mean the garden to fork kind of vibe, then I need to also be kind of living that truth myself. So I've kind of been a bit forceful lately, and I've been like, we're going to do plant-based and we're going to do vegan, and a lot of the things are also going to be non-alcohol. I'm so non-alcoholic because I feel like we're quite reliant sometimes on having very alcoholic driven events, and I wanted to kind of make people like just be more used to like socializing, because I'm an introvert, but I'm like when I'm in the right setting and it feels calm and it feels like welcoming, then I can be very extroverted. So I'm trying to like support that. And then the last tip I'll give is that I've built the buffer plants, and knowing that I have social anxiety in like very crowded spaces. So I think it's definitely like just if you can have a slot in your maybe like online form where people sign up saying, are there any other needs that that we haven't noted that that we could consider. So I always try to have like for example like an outdoor space, because like with my social anxiety, it's just the heat sometimes of the venue make me kind of like nervous. So being able to go outside and sit outside is like amazing. So just kind of little just like just these little tips that you can have, but I think it's that kind of thing. I hope that helps.
I had a friend who would take social anxiety smoke breaks where she would go outside, but she wouldn't smoke. She would
Oh, I
just okay, one last thing I want to cover before we wrap it up. If I, let's say I want to host an event in my town and I want to do something maybe, in the style of Barefoot Planter, what would be kind of an example of a very simple event that I could do? What would I want to do?
Oh, simple. Oh, we don't do simple here, I think I would definitely say like so. One thing I've implemented, because I feel like I can't always do like a supper club every month, and I can't do like these extravagant things. So, our biggest thing is like as long as one of the elements, like whether it's like cooking, planting, or dining, is included, then it's okay. So I think I would definitely say with the gardening element. I've started to launch a thing called the Sip and Plant. Before it was like Sip and Pot, but I realized people might think it's like like doing like what's that thing called on the wheel. Words leave me, but yeah, I think people might think like we're doing like a potting session. And I was like, no, like we're actually doing planting. So yeah, kind of really simple, like Sip and Plant. And the idea is that people just come and they learn about how to like grow their own stuff in a very sustainable way, but also low pressure. So I think once again being cabin, so I'm from a small island called Montserrat, and my mom's always been going like big on if you come to my house, we're feeding you. And so even if even though it is like a very like drink focused event, I think just having these little nibbles there that people can snack on, because once again with the accessibility element, like people that have diabetes, for example, they need food. So I'm always including food in everything I do anyway. But yeah, I think just a Sip and Plant event with close friends or local people like in your community, and it's welcome them to network, but in a very low pressure way, because I think sometimes we don't get the chance just to like sit and enjoy. We also have to go to these events where it's like talk, and it's like actually sometimes I want to just exist and being present of people that are like-minded and lovely. So yeah, I think do a Sip and Plant event. Just make sure that you're being sustainable with like the waste and any equipment that you use. And I think a big misconception I want to like debunk is definitely like when it comes to sustainability, you can reuse things. So it can be a case of like 10 people to bring their old containers and using that to like do things. So it can be affordable as well. And you can also be very very innovative.
Love it. Love it. Chantel, thank you so much. It's been great to have you and to learn so much from your experience, and I'm excited to follow your journey. So that's Chantel Lewis, thebarefootplanter.com, at thebarefootplanter on Instagram, and at barefootplanter on Twitter. Still not calling it X. That's it for me. I'm Tony Bacigalupo. I'm at Tony Be Good on all the socials. And if you want to learn more about the Coworking Values podcast, you've already found it because you're listening or watching it right now. But you can search Coworking Values podcast. And also, quick shout out, we are putting some love into our the Coworking LinkedIn group. So if you head to LinkedIn, search Coworking, you should be able to find about an 8,000 member LinkedIn group with a red coffee cup logo. We're giving that some love. So if you're into co-working, want to discuss it with other folks, you will find us there. Chantel, thanks again so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Tony.